Hello and welcome to the Health Education England Southwest Faculty for Advance in Practice podcast series. In this episode, we're going to be exploring advanced practice in ophthalmology. My name is Sharon Wade and I am the Supervision and Assessment Lead for Surgery and Anaesthesia as part of the faculty at Health Education England. With me today is Gurdeep Matharu and Helen McCarthy, and it's over to you really to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Gurdeep Matharu. I'm one of the senior orthoptists at the Bristol Eye Hospital and a trainee advanced practitioner.
I'm Helen McCarthy and I'm the head orthoptist at Bristol Eye Hospital.
Well, thank you both for joining me today. It's, our objective really is just to talk about advancing practice within ophthalmology. If I could start with you, Helen, what made you decide that an advanced practitioner within the specialty would benefit the workforce?
So the driving force really was the national shortage of paediatric ophthalmologists and paediatric optometrists, meaning that we had to begin to look at different ways of working. We had increasing backlogs due to the COVID lockdown and also just with the difficulty in recruiting. Gurdeep was also really keen to get some further qualifications. So we started looking at different courses that she could do, but she particularly wanted to stay within the field of orthoptics and ophthalmology. So we discovered the Advancing Clinical Practice Masters and started having a look at that, and then looked at advancing practice in general and thought that that would really fit well for our speciality. So what we did first was approach the management team, and they actually did have people doing advanced clinical practice within the trust, but there wasn't anybody within the eye hospital. Having said that, they were very keen to support us. So we looked at the courses and found that the Sheffield University course for paediatric ophthalmology was excellent. So we looked into Gurdeep registering for that. We looked into the funding from Health Education England, and we contacted the local ACP teams, both within the trust and within the Southwest, and we got a lot of support. So we embarked on first applying for the funding and then Gurdeep applying to do the masters.
That sounds like a really sort of smooth process, actually. You're making it sound easy, but was it difficult really when you started? Were there many barriers to sort of developing the role? Or?
Yes, we wouldn't look back and say it was easy. I think because we were the first, certainly orthoptists that we knew, and the first within our trust, there were some barriers to overcome, but it was more just the understanding of exactly what advanced clinical practice was, that it wasn't just an orthoptist training within and gaining more clinical skills, but about the entirety of the course, the four pillars, and understanding how we were going to embed that within the ophthalmology department.
If I can just ask you, Gurdeep, you're an orthoptist by background?
Yes.
Can you share your story of how you developed your advanced practice role?
So I guess for me, it was a little unconventional. I knew that I wanted to develop my skills within my current role, and I wanted to take on more responsibility within the department. So I knew I had to explore ideas of how I was going to do that. I mean, and to add a bit of context, within the eye hospital, we had no ACPs, established ACPs at the time. But one of my very good friends and colleague, Rebecca Coles, who I now study with on the ACP course, she's a senior nurse specialist, and she was looking to go down the ACP route with her specialty in uveitis. And she sort of sparked my interest. So I looked into ACP for orthoptists, and particularly down the paediatric route. And I was really interested. I'm interested in paediatric ophthalmology, in revisiting the skills I learned at university, such as using the slit lamp or retinoscope, or the technical aspects of it were really interesting to me. And I approached Helen with the idea, as a sort of half baked vision of what I wanted to do, not still fully knowing what it meant to be an ACP or what it entailed, but just knowing that I wanted to do more for the department, and knowing that we'd come out of COVID and we had loads of backlogs and patients to be seen. How could I help support that recovery? So I guess we started. I enrolled on the course, and We learned about it along the way. I developed my skills. I sat in clinics. I observed in A&E sessions. And I guess the biggest turning point this year was we'd achieved getting the entire department, you know, sort of onto the same vision of developing these roles, which was fantastic. And so where we are now is we're looking at the types of patients we can see, the types of low risk patients that I can take on to help support the waiting lists and get those children seen as soon as possible, and so they're not so their conditions aren't getting worse.
It has been a very exacting course, and the first year was incredibly hard work. And I think one of the other things to consider is that doing it alongside a full-time job is difficult. Gurdeep's been allowed a day and a half of study time, which we've had funding to backfill, but it's difficult in a small profession to find somebody to do a day and a half a week to backfill. So even if the funding's there, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem of somebody needing a day and a half to study when they have been full-time clinical. So that's another consideration. We have a second orthoptist who has started the Sheffield course. So we've managed to gain potential funding for two advanced practitioners within orthoptics. So she's started on the paediatric ophthalmology course as well. And we also have a neuro orthoptist who is going down the portfolio route. And so she really is already working as an advanced practitioner, but doesn't have the qualification for that to be recognised. So she's already embarked on that portfolio route. And if she passes all the sections of that, she would then become an advanced clinical practitioner in neuro orthoptics and ophthalmology.
Yeah, I think it's important, as you say, to consider all aspects, isn't it? It's not just getting the support. It's looking at, you know, what other barriers there could be, you know, to having the supervision, yeah, to having the support right the way through. So I think that's important. And having a good understanding of working at that level of practice across the four pillars, rather than just it being clinical, or, you know, to bring in the research and the teaching and the leadership within that. So that's important. Where did you feel the biggest impact might be on improving efficiency or on capacity, and how did you progress that?
So yes, we've had loads of ideas about the areas in which we can improve efficiency. And for Gurdeep, because she's specialising in paediatric ophthalmology, the obvious area would be the primary care clinics, which are at the moment carried out by the junior doctors. Gurdeep's already been a year sitting in and learning about these clinics and how she could take these forward. And this year, she's now working with her own list, but alongside one of the consultants, so fully supervised, but actually with her own patients. And so those clinical skills will mean that she would be able to manage those lists herself, thus freeing up a junior doctor session. But again, it's really important to emphasise that it's not just gaining those skills and that extra knowledge, but also improving patient flow, improving referrals into and from those clinics, making them run more effectively. And I think the other areas that we've looked at would be things like the paediatric cataract clinics, paediatric A&E. All these roles lend themselves very well to an advanced clinical practitioner. And I think that's why it's been popular for ophthalmology. We've all got our own areas of expertise, but the more we can multitask and effectively cover each other's work a little bit, some of the roles are very specific, but there's areas where we can all learn and improve the effectiveness of the clinics.
So you said about the paediatric cataracts. I was sort of surprised then. But so what sort of patients do you see in those clinics then? Is it just all, are they like generic? Is it all types of patients that you see? Or?
So yes, babies who are born with cataracts. So the treatment for those is to remove the cataracts very early, which is obviously a surgical and a doctor's role. But there's a huge amount of post-cataract extraction treatment which goes on, which is the fitting of contact lenses and then the treatment of the what's called amblyopia, which is the reduction in vision because they haven't had a clear visual pathway from birth. So if it's a unilateral cataract, for example, they would need patching treatment of their good eye, and it's very intensive. But this role could be a really, again, a really effective way for an advanced clinical practitioner to manage those clinics. Potentially some, I think, not us at the moment, as we have an excellent optometry department working on pediatric cataract contact lenses, but it is an area that you could upskill orthoptists possibly.
Will you like audit the practice to see where you are now and where you might be afterwards, or are you just for the numbers of patients? I was just wondering, how can you sort of demonstrate it's going to make a difference?
Yes, so very much part of the advanced clinical practice course is to definitely audit and analyze the effectiveness of any service. So yes, that would definitely be a part.
Thanks very much, Helen. It's really interesting. Just correct me if I'm wrong, but you can be an orthoptist, you can be an optometrist or an ophthalmic nurse that can develop into advanced practice roles, and with, I assume, very different clinical capabilities. How do you upskill to allow a practitioner to work at the same level at the end, across those four pillars? Is the training different for each of the professions?
So I'm currently training with a nurse specialist, and it's interesting because I wasn't aware of pathways being different in training, but it's quite a common route for nurses to go down the advanced clinical practice training route. Very new for orthoptists, and I don't think very many optometrists have done it either. So for nurses, it's quite an established route, and you know, I've been able to learn from my colleague Becky, who is embarked on this journey with me. And orthoptists generally take on extended roles, particularly in areas like glaucoma, medical retina, cornea, uveitis and contact lenses, and even low vision. And Helen was talking about neuro-orthoptics as well, and those are pretty well-known expanded roles. But the advanced clinical practice role is quite different because it encompasses those leadership pillars and service evaluation and audit and research. And that's really interesting to see how that will unfold in time.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting that you can have that background and to, you know, work at the same level and make a difference to the service. Do you have any future development plans for advancing practice within the specialty? Are you thinking of increasing your numbers or any plans?
So, as I said earlier, we've got at the moment the two posts. So when you go down this path, you have your management team have to agree to accept people onto that pathway, because as you may or may not know, you then end up in a different banding. So the trust needs to acknowledge that that is going to happen in 3 years' time. So this is where you have to be careful and make sure you have your management buy-in right from the beginning. So for our department of 15, to have two advanced clinical practitioners at the current time seems about right. What you don't want to do is end up completely top heavy and having your head of department plus two advanced practitioners expanding different areas of speciality. So I think where we are now, with Gurdeep planning to go into sort of primary care as her first project, Sarah thinking either, I think, of cataract or cerebral visual impairment service, I think we would then take stock and see, you know, as you say, audit and see how that goes, and then move forward from there.
So Gurdeep, if anyone was interested in following the advanced practice pathway or undertaking an MSc, what would you say to them? What would you advise them to do?
Go for it. I think if you really want to do something enough and you're passionate about it and you can show that it's going to have value to the department, then absolutely it's something that you need to, you know, explore and have that conversation with your line manager and talk about what it is that you want to achieve. I think progress in your specialty is important, and it's what keeps us in our jobs and keeps us doing more. So, you know, absolutely, if you want to do it, do it, go for it.
I think that's great. I think that's great to end on, really. I think it leads me to say to you both, thank you so much for joining me today. I think it'd be helpful for both the aspiring practitioners and for managers who are looking at developing the workforce in the future. And I hope it's been useful for our listeners that they've joined us today, and that they'll join us for our next podcast in the series when it comes.